actually no. The conflict resolution skill.
No, where's your food?
You know, honestly, yeah. This is the first time I've said this to my boyfriend. I'm not that hungry. I'll probably get some more later.
We have this.
Are you vegan?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know if I can live.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, let me see what. Okay. Me and this guy.
Somebody else Yeah. No.
Tuesday, April 23rd.
back here in Council Chambers at 6 p.m. Before we get to the one other item that's on here, I would like to make a special presentation this evening to someone who has been a member of Students' Council for 4 whole years, and as a result is being awarded the Bachelor of Students' Council to Levi Plano.
See y'all later.
Congratulations, Governor Flanagan. Now, as is tradition and is in standing orders, we would like to open our meeting with the President's farewell address. President Larson. Someone get the tissues.
So, this was supposed to be short, but in all things I do, it's going to be a little bit extra and quite a bit longer than short. I also apologize. There are some things in here that I'm just going to make assumptions about how this meeting is going to go, and you're just going to have to roll with it. I don't want any questions about this speech. So, my name is Reed Larson. I am the president for exactly 21 more days. I'm very excited to end out my term. It will be almost 3 years that I have been sitting in these halls, and I've been hanging out with some of the coolest people I know. I think a lot of people know me as just that, as the president. I have been responsible for a few things. I've done other things as well. However, I believe my story is a lot more than just being the president. This speech, thus, will be two. One for me to give you my personal story, to have a little bit of closure, and second, to go over what we accomplished in the 2018-19 year of my presidency and of the Students' Union Council. So, my story starts actually in 2011 when I was accepted to the University of Alberta. I traveled for a year because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And then came back in 2012, and I actually started in economics. I started my university experience actually as a horrendous student, probably one of the worst, somebody that you really wouldn't want to hang out with. I only once managed to take full-time studies. Only once. I've only ever been able to do part-time studies. Academics are not for me. And I changed my major 3 times until I found what I love, which is political science. It's been a massively challenging for me, actually, to go through this academic journey. And I'm not done, so I'll be around anyway. Further, in my first year on this campus, when I tried to access mental health service, it was a shock to me how little supports there was. There was no fall reading week, no downtime at all for students, really. There were no LGBTQ safe spaces on campus. There were no real protections for student costs. MNIFs and tuition would be introduced at random. I couldn't access loan and grants. I needed, so I was made to rely on my family, my credit cards, and my work. By the end of my first year, I spent 2 weeks sleeping in my truck in a parking lot in a bar that took me in before anywhere else did. I had little options as I watched my entire community get dismantled at the same time. That was where I came from. Honestly, the first couple of years of my university degree were massively challenging for myself, and looking back, it was a small miracle that I get to put on a little bit of a suit and stand here and tell you about it. Now, I wish I knew what actually got me out of that phase. I have no idea. I went to some town halls because I was super pissed about some stuff that was going on. I started to get involved in poverty efforts because it kind of made sense. And I was pushed by friends and partners to clean up my act, abandon a lot of the practices I had that were toxic. I joined some student groups. I got involved in some advocacy just because it seemed like the thing to do. I met some of my favorite people that I've ever met, people who were in it just because they wanted to, because they wanted to change the world, who are friends of mine to this day. However, I never truly found my community until I decided to run in the UASU elections for the first time. I made that decision the first time because I was passionate about engagement. Literally, people who would be around at anything with Levi would remember me just yelling about voting. Just vote, you motherfuckers, I used to say to people. And I really started to get engaged in experiences for my platform. I talked about certain things that had affected me and I wanted to force change. That doesn't mean my first campaign wasn't an absolute gong show. People who remember it well. I had decided to run 30 days before the campaign. I had no support aside some good friends. No one knew. I knew no one outside of my bubble, and I still thought I had a chance. I truly did. I was so jazzed about it. However, if anything I had passion, I had a lot of fury, and I had a lot of drive, and I was truly the meth guy. Right from my bones, I embodied what it was to champion meth on campus. It was incredibly difficult, one of the most incredibly difficult things I've ever done. I took a lot of flack, I met a lot of people, but I lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks, and I never felt so supported in my entire life by the people I met and the other people running. It was an incredible experience. Many people approached me in support, so many people were friendly, willing to help, and it was where I made most of my now lifelong friends. When I did lose, I took that loss the best I could. It always hurts. And I decided then and there to dedicate myself to improving the system. I ran for council, as you do, and I took engagement too far, actually. It was actually a little bit too much. I sat on every single student's council committee at some point in time. I wormed my way onto every single GFC committee that I could. I went to every single event. Andre at the time would have known me as the guy who showed up where beer was. I was everywhere as a counselor, and I gave so much of myself. I worked myself to the bone for governance, as so many of you have, and it was an incredible experience. I enjoyed every minute of it. Now, my second campaign was a lot more fluid. I still have the tie. I still have the brand. And it felt great. It was less stressful. I had an amazing team. We put in a lot of hard work, and I built a great community behind me, and things just seemed to swing my way. It was very nice. And that's how I felt for most of that campaign. I was then elected Vice President External, immediately got started getting elected again as the chair of cause, and then immediately got started with everything else. And that's where I started to meet people who may not be friends, but became family, my old exec team, and people from all over the province that I don't know what I would do without. I have to say, though, it was not sunshine and rainbows for most of it. In November of last year, I went through a point of extreme burnout and exhaustion. I considered my options and what I would do. I nearly made the decision not to run. I more than once told several people I was never going to do it. And it was just so tiring. It was incredibly difficult. I was counseled, or talked to, or given advice by the legend himself, Fahim Rahman, who is by far the best of us and ever will be, and that's just my own personal opinion, who basically just said, try to get some sleep, consider self-care, come back to the decision when you can. Don't count yourself out. Eventually, those words, and a really swift kick in the ass from Victoria Dejar, my campaign manager, made the decision to run, and I started building my team. Running for president was by far the hardest and most competitive thing I've ever done. I ran against my family, I ran against people I respected, and it was hard. I did it because I believed in the mission of the Students' Union, because I believed in what we do here. And we won because I believed in my team, because they were amazing people, we had great work ethic, and we just grinded it out. That brings us all the way up to 2019 academic year, so I'll save the rest of the story for the second half of this speech. We're only halfway through. However, looking back over these years, I never understood the impact of the UASU on my personal story. So much of why I even made it through was because of the UASU. The only reason we have Ombudsman services, academic advising, and peer support on this campus was because of efforts at the UASU. They're the only reasons why shitty students like myself get it through. The UASU is the driving force and the first investments into mental health services on this campus. In 2017, the Alberta government invested $25.8 million province-wide. The direct result of student advocacy. Nobody else asked for that. We did. In 2015, President Petros Kuzman signed into existence the fall reading break, something that has proven to save lives and took almost half a decade of work. In 2014, after years of groundwork, the landing came into existence. The direct efforts of the UASU and folks like VP Nicholas Diaz, so that people like me, when they were discovering their sexuality for the first time, might have somewhere to go. Since my first year, The USU, This is really important to me. The USU battled for student residents, for people like, well, later when the Lister Hall Student Association was on probation, people like Colton, sitting in the back here, fought for it. Fought to ensure that that would come back. In 2017, people were appointed, and by 2018, LHSA was back to ensure that students like myself would never be made homeless again. We had the implementation of a tuition freeze, something that I benefited from, thousands of dollars, and every single student across the province. Well, that doesn't happen because people were nice or because the university wanted it or anybody else did it, because we wanted it, because we asked for it. There are so many more examples of how my life over the past 7 years was made better by the USU, and I think back and I think how happily ignorant I was for so many of those years, how these things happened without me, and I eventually know will benefit generations of people. Now, it has taken me all this time to recognize the impact that the USU has had on my life. I believe one of the many greatest challenges the USU faces in the coming years is showcasing that value of telling these stories, of letting people know why this is important. It's long-term, it has effects. It needs to be stated these changes happen in less than a decade, in my physical time here, which was an incredible journey, and it took that long to build them. But it does not take that long to tear them down. We have to ensure that we are proud of our history, that we showcase our value, and we ensure that we stand against those who would tear these things down, because they save lives. And they ensure that people like me make it to places like this. So, after going over all that, we're here in 2018-19, the end of this year. This is our story now. We all did some stuff, I figured. But before we get into the good things, we faced a lot of challenges. I was in the news, sometimes for a long time. Yeah, what do you know? The USU still needs to find a sustainable model for capital funding. We've had challenges to our governance and our procedures. We continue to strive to make council safe, inclusive, and diverse space, but it's not perfect. Anti-student association policies exist within policy books of political parties across the country. We need to create more value. We need to engage in sustainable practice, and we need to become less reliant on fees. We need to connect to students like me who do not know the impact of these challenges. For indication though, and what I am super excited about, is how much faith I have from the next year and the people following me. I would say undoubtedly that your incoming president has the largest campaign president ever of a USU candidate. The impact of this Canada-wide is actually known. I tell her this all the time and she just goes, ah. But it's important. It's incredibly important. We will be considered leaders, and we will have to be leaders. That is matched, in all honesty, by councils who are incoming, who have a greater presence than I ever did. I have 100 likes on Facebook. There are councils left like 200 for no apparent reason. I can't figure them. And I'm so excited for them. I am so excited for that next generation of engaged students. We, as well, aside from all of these things, we build and they will build upon the successes of this year, a year where we have accomplished unbelievable things. We are in the middle of the largest Get Out the Vote effort on campus ever. Polls, which are on campus because of the work of students. Everybody here right now, give Stephen Ray a great. Largest rebranding exercise in the USU's history, which the effects actually won't be felt probably until next year. And we have included that in social media, which we actually now have, turns out. That's great. We reviewed the most political policies in 1 year in the USU's history, including for the first time ever an equity, diversity, and inclusion policy. Again, congratulations to Stephen Rains and the policy committee, an unbelievable effort. We wrote and adopted a strategic plan that will shape the operations of the organization for the next 5 years, a six-month effort from many, many individuals. The Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee completed its recommendations for the UASU, a document that is likely the most comprehensive in the country and will be supported by a new full-time staff member beginning of next year, along with so many commitments that we already are ongoing. The USU restructured two departments, including an entirely new approach to catering events, something that's already had dividends. We presented a balanced budget today, 2 years early, compared to where our projections were. We have taken steps to strengthen student group autonomy. Unbelievable effort from VP Bourgeois and so many others. We translated our bylaws into French for the first time. We took on the landing as a service to protect that space. We took charitable donations for the first time since the creation of the Student Involvement Endowment Fund. We gave direct feedback on how cannabis came to campus. We implemented a skill sharing network in, well, it was day one, I believe. Congratulations. We fully reviewed council standing orders, and they are coming to you today. We took leadership roles in so many spaces at so many critical points in time. So many of them I've already mentioned, but others such as the chair of CASA, the largest group in the country, OER advocacy, traveling the world, mental health funding, and making sure that we are a leader. And finally, deferred maintenance and all the impacts it has on campus. And in my time as an advocate, Bill 19 and the tuition freeze saves students thousands of dollars. And for the first time since the 1970s, some level of protection from your interest. It's not perfect, but something. I want to iterate that a number of these actions would be remarkable on their own. If they were the only thing we did, you could pick one out of this list, and if you got to say that's what you did, it is unbelievable. These actions and so many others will be the legacy of this year's council and the UASU for so many more to come. Further, I am proud to say that I would count many people in these chambers as friends and look forward to seeing the ways that you will change. You are the leaders, now and into the future. I want you to know that the actions that we have taken over this year will have effects that many of us do not yet understand. You have a remarkable impact on student lives, just like how all of the actions of student leaders before us have impact, even if we didn't know them. Impacts on students like myself, students who struggle, who are not perfect. I personally have undergone immense growth since starting this role, and those close to me know that it's been incredibly difficult. However, I remain utterly optimistic for the future of the USU and for the University of Alberta. In the end, the UASU will continue to do what's right, not what's easy. Inspire change for the world, act with unbridled compassion, always keep moving, and learn from the past to improve tomorrow. And that's thanks to your efforts and you, all of you. So I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for your service to students, for your service to everybody in this council, and for ultimately ensuring that we have an impact on the world. Cheers, folks.
Okay. most of you. Some unfamiliar faces, though. I actually didn't know I was doing a presentation today. I just came to watch the president's speech. But yeah, they prepared the PowerPoint for me, so I guess I'll be doing stuff. I'm just kidding. So I'm the program manager for the health and dental plan here at the U of A. And I also have some background with the Students' Union. I spent a couple of hours volunteering for the SU back in the day. No, I'm just kidding. I've pretty much lived here for like half of my life. But I actually grew up and got a job at some point, so I still make my way back here once in a while to deliver some information. But yeah, today's going to be a really rapid presentation. There's a lot of slides I'm not really going to talk about. The important information's at the end, so try your best to hold on tight for the first bit, and then we'll get to the important stuff. So the reason that it's a long presentation is usually we do a presentation for you in like kind of like October period, but this year we didn't come by. So I want to give you a brief orientation about the plan and what we do for you, and then we'll talk about some of the changes that are happening next year. Also, if you have any questions or anything, please feel free to stop me at any time, but if not, I'll get started. So the health and dental plan here, we'll talk really quickly about our story, what our company does, a bit about our services, and then we'll talk about the data and the claims for this year. So our story, what is Student Care, where did we come from? Student Care is a company that works only in student health and dental plans, and we are not an insurer or a broker. So what does that mean? That means that we provide service to you and your students and make sure that the insurance part of your plan goes well, but also that the service side of dealing with the health and dental plan, answering students' questions, helping them with their enrollment and opt-outs, things like that, that all gets taken care of as well. There's also a few members in this room of the health and dental plan committee, so I work with that committee throughout the year to help make any changes that need to be made to the plan and make sure the students are being taken care of. Student Care, this is a part of our team, is mostly actually made up of former student executives, so it's kind of like a post-SU support group, if you like to think of it that way. Our founder, Lev Buckman, right in the middle there, he was a VP Finance for the McGill SSMU, and shortly after he finished his term there, and this is like 22 years ago, I think now, he went to law school and decided that he didn't really want to be a lawyer. So he worked on a project for McGill, working on creating health and dental plan for them, and said, hey, why don't we create an entire company to do this on our own? And we can get students better deals than what the insurance companies are giving them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What did that end up leading to? These are some of the people that work with us, and a lot of students in our health and dental plan. So there's about 900,000 students that are working with Student Care. Our main office is in Montreal, but we have student associations all across the country that we work with. I think now there's, 65 different institutions and over 90 different student associations across the country. So it's a pretty cool thing to be able to travel around the country, speak to student executives all over Canada. And I also get to come to the councils and boards and, you know, whatever they like to call their decision-making bodies and meet all of you once in a while. Some of the things that we do on campus are we support initiatives like the Alberta Student Leadership Summit, Antifreeze, things like that. And we always like to keep our hands dirty, working on the ground with student stuff, not just health and dental, but making sure that we have an impact on all sorts of student activities. Our relationships. So these are some of the big things that have happened with Student Care and UASU in the past, I guess you could say, decade at this point. So the plan launched in 2008, 2009, kind of in between, and the first plan year was in 2009, so not really that long ago. A couple big things happened since then. In 2012, you switched insurers from Sun Life to Desjardins, which is a company based out of Quebec. And over that period, you've saved students over $1 million by making that change. So big, important decisions that actually came straight from the Health and Dental Plan Committee. We've done some contributions to the sub-reno when that was happening. And also, we've done a lot in terms of advocacy in Alberta. So I'm sure all of you know this, that Alberta, from a health perspective, is often very quick to make changes and say they're on the cutting edge, but not always the quickest to fund those changes that they're talking about. So some of the things that we've advocated for are increasing the dental network discount for students all across the province, and also being a proactive kind of sponsor, I guess you could say, for pushing the mental health effort. So there's a lot of things going on in that atmosphere. Okay, so some of our services, I'll go through this really fast because it's not, it's all common sense. So some of the things that we do to help your students understand the plan better, we run our SU website. So it's kind of a microsite that is similar to the ones at all the other student associations, but has all the information that students need for their plan here. We also do mail outs, we send emails to your students and make sure that they know they have their plan. One of the biggest issues about a health and dental plan, you might not realize this, but most students, and when I say most, I mean like maybe 50%, especially in their first year, don't even know they have a health and dental plan. It's charged in their tuition, it's something that they pay for, but when you look at the claims, a lot of the time, students don't know it exists and they don't use it. So one of the biggest things that we want to do to make sure your students get value for their money is they understand, A, that they have a plan, and then B, how to use it. So that's a really important step that that the SU actually helps out a lot with too, helping us market and advertise the plan. We also have a member services office that runs primarily out of Montreal, even though we do have the sixth floor health and dental office here. And this is meant to address any student issues that come up and make sure that we can help any student with any issue that they face. So there's a dedicated call center in Montreal, and the hours are, it's from 9 to 5. It's open, but because we're open all across the country, students can actually access it pretty much like from when they wake up to when they go to bed. These are some pictures of our office in Montreal and just some of the branding that we did. We did a rebrand actually about 2 years ago to make it more student-friendly. It's very colorful, and I'm sure you're very familiar with the branding. This is kind of boring stuff. I'll skip through it, just talking about data and privacy. This is actually really important, though. We make sure that all your students' information is stored in Canada and in our servers. We don't use too much like cloud technology and that kind of stuff because when data is being transferred between the university to our office in Montreal, it's really important that we don't share your like your students' information, whether that's health-related information or financial information or anything to do with their academics. That all goes directly from the university to us, and we store it on-site. We obviously have like backup servers in case there's a wild tornado that goes through Quebec or something like that, but we really make sure that everything's safe. There's a mobile app that a lot of students use as their primary method to make claims, and we actually got a new version of the app that has just recently come out, and students have been pretty happy with it, so it's been good. Communications, I won't talk too much about this either, just some examples of some of the communications materials that we put out. We're making a big effort lately to provide materials that are both accessible and also multilingual. There's a lot of students that will have a hard time. Like, if you look at that text, it just looks confusing and terrible. But we want to make sure that a lot of international students understand the information of the plan, too. So we have videos and things like that as well. There's the website for you. Reporting consulting, I'll go really fast through this. We do some surveys throughout the year as well. And then this next slide. Maybe I'll let you click through it then. We did a mental health survey about 3 years ago, and it's been really impactful, kind of shaping the way that that we've changed plans, either to provide more mental health funding or to provide access to different types of psychology services for students. So that's a big thing that we're doing right now. Networks, I won't talk about this too much. The student care networks are a bunch of providers that we have in different healthcare fields that provide students with additional discounts. So the benefit to students is you get additional discounts, and the benefit to the providers is that we do some marketing for them and bring them more patients. On the website, you can also see where some of the network providers are, so that's a good thing there. Skip through these. And then looking forward, these are some new things that are coming in the future, and we just want to let you know a bit more about them. So Empower Me is a 24/7 it's not necessarily a psychology service, but it's kind of a counseling service that students can have access to. And this is not currently implemented in the plan. That's something that we're looking at in the future. And these are some of the services that students provide with access to. And one of the really important things about the service is that if we do introduce it, that we make sure it's complementary to the services that are provided on campus. It's not a be-all, end-all. That's meant to be a complementary service. Also, the government of Alberta obviously is trying to do something similar, but this is something that's provided through some of our plans in mostly Western Canada and Ontario right now, and it provides students with a bit more access. The other nice thing about it is that it's a one-time fee that's paid through the health and dental plan, and then students will have unlimited access to the service throughout the year. Medical marijuana is something that's coming up. We have not made any changes to our policies yet with medical marijuana, but there's a package available as well. If that's something that students choose to put into the plan in the future. So look at that maybe being a big topic in like 2019, 2020, coming in the next year. Also, we obviously are an inclusive employer and make sure that we are as inclusive as possible for all the services that we provide. That's something that Student Care is extremely focused on, making sure that students are, you know, like sometimes when students make claims in the past, you have to put like your like born gender and things like that, and like the insurance industry is really archaic in that sense. So we're pushing as much as we can to make our insurers be more inclusive to our students and only take the data that they absolutely need to make a claim. Insurance really operates in like the 1980s kind of thinking, and it's a lot of like pen and paper old school stuff. So students obviously are in need of services that that are accessible to them and make them feel comfortable. Okay, that was all the introduction. Here's the important question. So what we do every year is we renew the contract with the insurer. And in that process, we act as a consultant or like a negotiator to get you the best deal as possible for your students. These numbers are really important here. It shows the trends in total claims and for health and for dental in the past 5 years, and shows the trend. So, no surprise, the trend is obviously increasing for claims. It's really important to note, though, that enrollment really impacts these total claims. So you'll see the numbers about 2.5 million for health and 2.3 million for dental. But it's more important to look at this as a per capita claim. So when you factor in enrollment increases, how has that been changing? So in the past, you've seen a big increase in health and actually a slight decrease in dental, which is interesting because the dental claims have been the primary driver of increased claims in the past 5 years, but it's starting to taper off a bit. One of the major reasons for this is because the new dental clinic in the Paul Center really had a big impact on increased claims for dental. These show the plan premiums and the plan fees for the past 5 years as well. The plan premium is what the SU pays to the insurer, and the plan fee is what students pay to the SU. So usually, you want the plan fee to be a little bit higher than the plan premium. That wasn't the case in the last year. The SU actually subsidized a part of the plan through what's called the Health and Dental Plan Reserve Fund, which is meant to cover years in which case the plan fee is lower. A few other things to note is that you actually have a guaranteed plan premium this year with your insurer Desjardins, and that was something that was achieved through the RFP process last year. So we actually signed a new contract with the SU last year, and a part of the deal was that you got a walk-in fee from the insurer, so saving you about $2 per student in the upcoming year, which sounds not like a lot, but when you multiply it by the number of students in the plan, it's a lot of money. And then, this is the plan fee analysis. Actually, it's just under that box. It shows the difference there. But we did some projections to find out what claims would be in the upcoming year. And what we found is that the plan cost, once again, will be more than the plan fee. And the variance there is $5.50, which is, I think, about a 2% increase from the previous year. And I also wrote some options that you can do. So, the easiest option would obviously be to just leave the plan as is, not change the plan fees. However, then you'd be taking about $90,000 out of the Health and Dental Plan Reserve Fund. So I put some kind of like moving forward measures here and some options on what you can do. So the first one is a 1% increase to the plan fee. The second is a 2% increase to the plan fee. And the third, which is covered up there, you can't quite see it, is a 3% increase. The Health and Dental Plan Committee did recommend a 3% increase, and I think there's a motion coming later today on that. But I'll let you discuss that, I guess, after the presentation. I can answer questions, and then we can give you some of the numbers as well. What's under the box is that if you do a 3% increase, then you'll actually be contributing a small amount to the Health and Dental Plan in the following year. And so that's pretty much my presentation. But thanks for listening to me, and it's always nice to be back, because like I do the insurance stuff, but really, I enjoy being here more as a SU alum, I guess you could say. My partner is also like a former VP as well, so we're really nerdy and like we follow all the SU stuff. So you never get to escape. Okay, next.
Would you like me to moderate questions?
Sure.
Alright, go ahead and hit your button if you want to ask a question. We have 15 minutes left, if you'd like to. There we go, there's one. Please ask Councillor Staff.
Thank you. So I don't think it was covered in the report there. I was just wondering if you have any statistics on trends regarding opt-outs, because students can obviously opt out of that health and dental plan. So, I mean, you talked about increases in claims,
but I'm curious if you're seeing an increase in students opting out, because obviously for a number of parents, they can be covered by their parents' insurance, most students can make one cover that. And I'm curious if you're getting more people leaving the plan, or maybe more people staying with it over the last few years.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. So in the past 4 years, it's been pretty consistent, the number of students that opt out, usually about a third that they're enrolled in the plan. And your plan is unique. Across the country, it is actually the only plan that you don't have to have proof of alternative coverage to opt out of the plan. Students in Alberta, well, actually just the undergrad, like just the UASU, can opt out just because they want to, and they don't have to have alternative coverage. The trend is actually increasing in the number of students who are keeping the plan rather than opting out. And the reason for that, I think primarily, is because the Alberta economy, there are less students who have parents employed in a benefit-providing employer, and because of that, students are keeping their plans more often. The other thing is that health care costs are increasing, so a lot of the time the students, either their parents' plan or this plan, does not completely cover the needs that they have. So there's a lot of students who are, I guess the easy way would say is like staffing their benefits, but I think it's like coordination benefits is the technical term, and are using both plans at once.
Right, Juan, go ahead.
All right, thanks for your presentation. I was wondering if you could touch up a little bit on how like pharmaceuticals and like prescriptions are covered under the plan.
So there's a really easy answer to that question, a really complex answer to that question. The simple one is prescription drugs are covered primarily at 80% reimbursement. So say you have like a prescription that's $100, you usually get $80 back. Obviously, prescription drugs cover like a really wide variety of things. The drugs that are covered primarily under the plan fall under what's under the Alberta Health Formulary. So usually if there's a drug that's covered by the government, then we'll also provide complementary coverage to that. There are drugs, though, that are not covered under that formulary, where students can apply for what's called a drug exception. And there's a maximum right now of $10,000 that you can get for a drug exception. What happens is you have to apply to student care specifically, and one someone from a member services office will look at what you're asking for, and maybe like 95% of the time those drugs get covered. The only ones that don't are, there are some drugs that are experimental and they're not covered under, it's actually more of a federal formulary. And if they're not approved by Health Canada, a lot of time it'll come directly to me actually, and then I'll make a decision, sometimes on my own or sometimes with the help of the execs or the Health and Dental Plan Committee on approval for that. So we actually have a few cases we're working on right now that are a little bit difficult, and it can often be kind of a sticky point definitely for the plan.
Thanks. I just have a follow-up. I was wondering how student care deals with prescriptions or drugs that are currently covered by provinces, drugs like PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, that could possibly be defunded in the future by future governments.
For sure. Yeah, that's a great question. We're definitely, especially in Alberta right now, looking into how the Health and Dental Plan could be affected by a changing government. And not necessarily changing government, but by aggressive policy changes in healthcare. And right now, I guess, I can give you kind of the current view and then the future view. So right now, if there's a drug that's covered in another province or even something that's more progressive, often that would be a drug exception if it's not in the current formulary. However, the Alberta Health Formulary right now is quite progressive in comparison to other provinces. I'd say maybe, surprisingly, actually Saskatchewan is the one province that might be a little bit further ahead. If there was to be a change in government that would impact those policy changes, for the most part, the formulary is slow to change. So I don't think that would change within the next maybe 3 years. But those types of medications or prescriptions that you're talking about, student care would be able to kind of supersede the general formulary if the UASU chose to direct us to do so. So an important thing to note too is that this is not Student Care's plan, this is the SU's plan, and we're really here just to support you. So any decision that gets made with the plan can be made on behalf of the SU, and we're really just here to kind of be the best at Student Care.
Councilor Leader.
Thanks for that presentation. I definitely learned quite a bit. So I was wondering if within the data you collect about claims, you collect data about like the composition of the claims. So like how many claims, for example, were for visits to therapists or social workers. And particularly, I'm wondering if it's possible to get access to data about that composition, because I think it'd be very interesting, especially to be able to map data about like mental health related claims against things like public policy changes or university tuition increases. Thank you.
For sure. Another great question. I give you the really like absolute basic raw data here. We do take note of all that. So we have a breakdown of all of these health claims. We basically get a chart that shows what the number of claims was and then what the amount paid for each claim was for each different category. Speaking specifically about mental health, we did provide a report, I think last year, to the SU exec showcasing the changes over, I think it was like the past 5 years, about mental health coverage. It's also important to note that there was an increase to mental health coverage through the SU plan as well, about 4 years ago, I think it was now, where we used to provide, I think it was like $30 every visit to a psychologist, which covered almost nothing. It's like $200 an hour, and moved that up to 80% coverage per visit. So that was a big jump in claims. The other thing we're looking at possibly in the future is adding like registered social workers. There's like 8 different types of workers that can provide psychology services rather than just like a psychologist or just a psychiatrist. So that's something we're looking at in the future. But yeah, as far as I can say for the time I've been with Student Care, which is about 4 years now, is that every single year there's at least like a 20% increase in mental health claims. And yes, they're directly tied to things like increases in tuition, increases in student poverty, you know, decreases in access to food security and things like that. And the honest truth is that the more international students that are coming on campus, the more difficulty students are having accessing things like that, because there's a lot of international students who, you know, their parents are paying everything for them to come to school here. And I mean, they don't have healthcare from their home country, things like that. And even getting things like vaccines, that's something that is not accessible all across the world. And students really depend, especially international students, really depend on things for the plan. So it's good that it's here, but we need to do a better job to make sure that we provide better services.
Well, we have 7 more minutes. If there's any more questions, otherwise, we do have any more. Councilor Long.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm wondering if there are any initiatives, if you can tell me more about the initiatives that inform students of like this plan, and also how they can make claims and things like that. Not that, not just that it exists and that they can opt out, but also how to utilize it. Thank you.
Sure. So first, let's talk about like the electronic ways we communicate with students. So we do send emails at the beginning of every semester and then throughout the semester to talk to students about A, opting out. That's the most important, because if a student has complementary coverage, we want them to be able to opt out and know about that. And then secondly, if they do opt in, but they stay in the plan, then we want them to be able to know how to use those services. So we send primarily email communications. We have access to the website, and also we have like pamphlets that are all across campus too. It's like international student services, orientation crews, different faculties in their faculty offices, they'll have stuff. But the biggest way that we communicate to students is really through the student union. So whether it's a presentation during student orientation, or we show up and do like tabling throughout the year as well. All those ways we try and have like face-to-face communication with students. It does kind of suck that we have our office like on the 6th floor and stuff. It's a little bit less accessible than it could be. But I mean, we try and have as big of a presence through the services that we work with as well, to make sure that students can have a face-to-face person to contact them with student help. The executive also does a really good job, because they get a lot of the initial questions about health and dental. And either they forward that to me, or they have a lot of knowledge on their own. With that said, I mean, there's ways that we're working on doing better. So we've tried to do social media in the past too. Health and dental doesn't really always work that well on social media. Like, you can't really tweet like, hey, check out your health and dental plan. But we do have like Facebook advertisements and stuff like that as well. We don't have an Instagram account. That was like a a big decision for my company. We thought about it for a while. We were like, what are we going to post? Presenting Desi constantly. I don't know. But, yeah, that was not very effective. So we do have an in-house communications team as well. There's about 10 people who work in our Montreal office, and they're always trying to think about new ways to promote the plan. We have weird swag and stuff. We have these like band-aid kits that we give out and stuff like that too. So yeah, it's very difficult to talk about health and dental because it's not a very exciting topic, but we try and find every way to communicate about it as possible.
Good one. Good. Thanks. So I know one of the really cool things that Marina did last year before she finished was put out like a huge like program or like advertising program, whatever, about people being able to access IUD and birth control services before they finish their programs. So what sort of programming is student care doing right now or like in the plans to like inform students of their options when it comes to going from a plan to possibly no plan?
Yeah, that is also a great question. You're talking about the famous Marina campaign, is what we like to call it, student care.
What? You never heard of this? What? Marina is a type of IUD.
So yeah, the president last year, did spearhead the campaign to encourage students to check out coverage for IUDs or like permanent birth control devices. So it was pretty cool. The big like external advocacy campaigns that we're working on right now are primarily based right now in Ontario. So it's talking about a little bit of context is that. Fees are not mandatory anymore, or student fees are no longer mandatory in Ontario. And student health and dental fees are actually protected from that. They're one of the fees that cannot be made optional by the government. However, we're doing a lot of work to make sure that student fees in general are protected. And yeah, I mean, if there's a change in government, that's definitely one of their priorities is to, to a specific government, one of their priorities is obviously to dismantle some of the permanency of student fees. So even though it's not health related, all that's kind of our big effort right now. In BC, there's changes to the way that prescription drugs are being financed for students as well. So that's the big push out there. In Alberta, honestly, right now, we're kind of just, it's the calm before the storm. We're not pushing on too much right now. But if you have an idea of something that you think is important, definitely let us know.
Good time for probably one more question, Councillor
Lehman. Thanks very much. So I did a little bit of research before your presentation, and one thing that stuck out to me was that for the travel insurance component of our plan here, you do need to have Canadian provincial healthcare coverage for it to apply. So if you're an international student and you travel to a university conference, even if it's not to your country of origin, then you're probably screwed on using the plan. So I was just wondering why that's the case, because obviously I don't think your Canadian provincial healthcare coverage would cover you in a foreign country, whether you are an international student or a Canadian domestic student.
That's a really good question, and thank you so much for doing research, appreciate it. It's a bit misleading, I think, what it says on the website. So those students do have coverage. Basically what they need to have is they need to have like an equivalent to Alberta Health. So when an international student comes here, they don't have immediate access to Alberta health care, even though they are like kind of like a landed resident, is what you would call it. So a lot of students have an international plan, which is called GuardMe, and that provides them with the equivalent coverage to Alberta health. As long as they have one or the other, then they have the travel coverage. The one area that travel coverage doesn't kick into effect is if they're an international student traveling to their home country. And there's a couple of reasons. It's really detailed, like insurance stuff. But say you're from Ghana, for example, and you go back to Ghana and you don't have coverage there, then your travel coverage will not cover you if you get in an accident or need like health services in your home country. But otherwise, it's covered everywhere for all students that are in the plan. Yeah. So maybe send that to me actually, and I'll take a look to see kind of where the confusion is.
All right, we have run out of time. I see no one else on the speaking list, so we will conclude the presentation there. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And congrats on finishing your term, everyone. Great work.
We will return now to our main paper for my favorite part of the final student council meeting. Plan moves to sponsor a presentation from the Gateway, presented by the Gateway staff. The last meeting of the year, the Gateway bestows a number of very prestigious awards to recognize the highlights of this year's Students Council term, aka the Paper Plate Awards. Is there a second for this? Councilor Lee, thank you very much. Is there any opposition to receiving this presentation? I sure hope not. I'm not going to count that. Gateway staff, come on up.
So I guess for those who don't know, like Gateway does this like thing at the end of every year, like where they assign like awards, some of them mostly joking. Like I remember last year, I think Sandy Brophy got like best beard stroke award. However, like what we give out varies. I don't remember what it used to be, paper plate. Last year we didn't have any, unfortunately, thing to give. The year before, I think at one point it was like a printout face of what's his name?
Craig Turner
from SU. And it was like a mask that people could wear.
There's one in the council bag still.
Yeah. This year we do have a certificate.
Oh, wow.
You can't see it from there, but I guess you'll get a better idea once we start announcing the winner. So we have like a total of 8, I think. And we'll just share who is getting what. Yeah. So our first award is for most shirtless counselor. And this one, they can only be one, as goes to Stephen Race.
I'll call it this one.
What was that before?
Now
it's
it. Take your shirt.
Do you want me to take? I can give two more words.
Yeah,
okay. The most shirtless
counselor. This next award is most likely to offer an amendment to an amendment, and this goes to Rowan Lee.
So this next award is a little ironic, but it's for most outspoken counselor, and it's for Counselor Stephen Lin.
Next one is most likely to nominate themselves for a committee. This award goes to Robert Billick.
Personally, my favorite of them all. It goes to the best executive. They put in the most work this year. They're a constant presence at meetings most of the time. It goes to Mark Dumichel.
Next one for best counselor goes to Councilor Magali.
Okay, this one is classic. It's a throwback. But it's the Meth Award for the one, the only, President Reed Larson.
Oh, it's actually smelled great, too! Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Reed, I realize many people don't know about meth.
Yeah.
So.
Mental health, employment, tuition, and housing, folks. Keep it up.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, guys. Woo!
Thank you very much, Gateway staff. Absolutely fantastic. All right. That will... Quiet down, please. That will conclude our presentations for this evening. We'll move into the executive committee reports. Any members of the executive wish to make a report? We'll begin with Vice President Bourgeois.
So yeah, what's up? Thanks everyone for a great year. I had an awesome time working with you all. Basically at this point, all of my committees are ending and they have now even started adding Jared to the invite list and removing me from the invite list. So I have less and less to report on, but we had our last Quora meeting yesterday and we're going to have a discussion about delegating some fee stuff to a committee with way more students on it, which is super positive. We got the Hub safety and security results, and they have confirmed that they will lock all of the doors in Hub by September 1, unless their construction materials get delayed into the mail. And I was like, that's a good enough commitment for me. What else? I have one more thing, sorry. No, that actually was it. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Vice President Proletariat. Hello to VP Brown.
Hello, everybody. Just a couple of things. I got back yesterday from Rwanda, which is a 7-hour bus ride northwest of Montreal. It is close to James Bay, and it's very middle of nowhere, Quebec, but I had a lovely time with our partners at the Quebec Student Union. I'm still very tired from the conference, but happy to be here. Other than that, if you didn't know already, there's a provincial election happening, and I am obliged to inform everyone that if you didn't know, you can vote in the lower level of the Students' Union building from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. I got it. And you can vote for whatever riding in the province you come from, and vote for whatever party you want to. I just care that you vote. And it's open till, I believe, Saturday. So lots of time. Please vote. Please tell your friends. I really enjoyed driving a golf cart around campus yelling that today. And the last thing, I just wanted to say a personal thank you to everybody on council. This has been a tremendous year. This was my first year on council, as it was for many of you. I learned a lot, made a lot of friends. And I'm very excited to keep going next year. But for those of you who won't be joining us, I want to thank you in particular for your contributions to the Students' Union. And for the rest of you who are coming back, let's do it again.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, so transition is in full swing. Most of my committees also have ended for the year. I've been talking a lot about this Dewey strategic plan, and then now council's over, so I don't know if you'll actually get to see it. Unless you're really keen, you can come and see it at any point. But just to provide some highlights, we've created like a mission, vision, values for the place itself. So the plan is to kind of, for the longest time, Rat and Dewey's would serve the exact same food at the exact same price point, essentially being competitors with each other, which I thought didn't make any sense, because why do that when you own both businesses? So Dewey's is definitely going to go towards more the pub grub, like hangover breakfast kind of style food, as opposed to Rat being more of the home cooked stuff, and slightly higher end, not exorbitant prices, but just pushing it more towards like a classier feel, as opposed to Dewey's, which is going to be the classic favorite. So the mission is, we'll be your top choice for student-centered comfort, good vibes, and making memories over breakfast and pub grub. vision, we want every student to graduate with an iconic memory of campus life at Dewey's, and this was really brought on because of, if you talk to anyone who's over the age of 45 who went to U of A, they talk about the power plant being this really iconic thing, so we hope to bring that back. And then from then on in the plan, we have a lot of data that kind of shows where we got a lot of the assumptions that we made in the whole document, and then finally break down into an action plan that focuses on the space itself, the menu, the communications plans, staffing, and everything. So if you would like to see it, you can always come bother me, but if not, just have faith that my successor can take this and run. Okay, thank you all.
Thank you, Vice President Jones. That brings us to the last VPAB, Vice President Batnagar.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. So a couple of things to add to my written report. Tomorrow is our COFA joint board, so that's the Council of Faculty Associations joint board meeting. We'll have our incoming counselors from faculty associations, our incoming executives from FAs, outgoing executives. I've also invited each and every one of you, so if you can make it, that would be very much appreciative. I know that this year we've been talking a lot about how we can better strengthen the relationship between FAs and council, and this is a really, really great starting point to set the year off strong. We'll also be catering Philly Sticks, so I mean, that's a plus. Going forward this week, I'm going to be helping run a menstruation innovation event on Friday about how we can better educate women who come from different diverse backgrounds on how to use products like Diva Cups, honestly. So if you're free on Friday and want to learn about that, that would be sick. Please come out, let me know if you want to be there, and you'll also get a free Diva Cup, which is exciting. GFC executive, yeah, they are expensive. Yeah, I think it's from 12 to 1, I believe. Anyone in your life, free Diva Cups is actually great. It is from 12:30 to 1:30 in Marigold Room in Sub. I will email all the women on this team to let you know. Lastly, GFC Executive is gonna be finally completing their terms of reference. So a lot of GFC committees this year have seen a lot of terms of reference changes, and we're almost done. We have about two left. And so that'll be the last meeting that I get to do as UP Academic in terms of GFC governance. And the rest of my time is just dedicated to transitioning Joel into the position. He's doing great so far, hasn't missed a meeting, and hasn't been late yet. So that's quite exciting. But other than that, if you have any other questions, feel free to ask me later. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Batnagar. And for the very last time, President Larson.
Right on in work-related things, the biggest thing coming for the end of the year is the Board of Finance and Property Committee. We'll be meeting on April 16th from 1:30 to 4:30. I will be giving a learning moment to the board in regards to the effects of anti-student association policies in Ontario and what that could hold if implemented in Alberta. I also have an academic planning committee the following day. I'll see Councillor Billick at. Besides that, executive retreat and our transition process has all been scheduled. We are actually incredibly ahead of the curve compared to previous years, so I'm thrilled to see everybody taking transition seriously. As well, my incoming has not been late thus far, and I'm very excited to ensure that they have a fulsome transition. Despite the fact that they are doing all of the scheduling for me, it's been quite nice. Besides that, thank you so much, folks. This will be probably one of the last times. Well, it's the last time we report. Swag.
Thank you, President Larson. That concludes the Executive Committee reports. We'll move into Board and Committee reports, beginning with the Aboriginal Relations Reconciliation Committee. Councillor Sunday.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a fairly lengthy chair's report. Most of it has to do with the annexes, though, so feel free to read in my trimester report. Other than that, I'd like to thank Vice President Bourgeois and Councillor Cutmer for all the work that they did on the indigenization political policy. Although it would not be brought forward during this iteration of council, I know they put a lot of time and effort into it throughout the year, so I'd just like to thank them for their work. And to know that it will be coming forward at the next council. As well, the knowledge keeper that has been coming to Students' Council, Cheryl Makokas. As some of you may already know, she had undergone an operation, but all went well, and I have a get well soon card that I will be leaving in the Discover Governance office, so sometime this week, if you are around campus, just please come and sign it. I know that she would really appreciate that. And other than that, if you have any questions, ask me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sennett. We will go next for audit to Councillor Stent.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So audit met today. We're just finishing up a series of trimester and OD reports to audit. We do plan to hopefully meet one more time before the total final transition is done to finish this trimester. It's been a good year. I'm just finalizing the transition report right now for the next year with DG, which will hopefully outline some new process changes and improvements for next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stapp. Go to Councillor Kim for bylaw.
Hi, everyone. I would first like to thank everyone for in the bylaw committee for their awesome work. Bylaw committee met for our last meeting last week, Wednesday, which was April 3rd. We went over things we have achieved so far, a few things that they'd like to see for next year's bylaw committee, as well as some recommendations for future bylaw committee chairs and members of it, which I have included in our transition report as attachment. And yeah, that was our last meeting, and we do not have anything that are left over in our business. And thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kim. I'll go to Governor Flanagan for CAC.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So Council Bin did not meet today, which made our meeting 2 weeks ago, our last meeting, where we finished the standing orders review, which we've been working on since November, and you see them today. I'm glad they're done, almost. Reuse the dish program. We don't have them again for this meeting. I'm not entirely sure what happened, but we stopped getting them after we were short a couple items at the last meeting we had them. So I'm going to reach out and try and find out what went wrong and try and make sure we have them for the 23rd for the start meeting of next year's council. Just finishing up the transition report to pass along to my successor for next year. And we didn't really have any formal council gatherings or anything this year. So kind of last minute, but if anybody can go, I would like to recommend Last Class Bash tomorrow. Serving Scott in Dinwiddie Lounge at 7 p.m. Tickets are only $5, worth every penny. Ask Reed about his story 2 years ago, and also throughout the day, pancakes, movies, barbecue, and beer gardens. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Flanagan. Governor President Larson for the executive.
I did provide a short transition report. In all honesty, it's almost better to look at the history of the executive reports that each one of the executive gives to know what we're up to, as well as all of the executive meeting minutes, which I just didn't put in the entire report itself. It seemed a little bit redundant. However, the biggest things that have happened in the past 2 weeks are we supported the Muslim Student Association's march, an incredibly cool event, which really showcased the need for more spaces for Muslim students on campus. We supported a new effort to the Get Out the Vote, some last-minute allocations to ensure that we got all the cool things we have now, including a golf cart, which is pretty fun, in all honesty. It's the Vote-mobile, get it done. Some efforts in, I'm trying to remember what the final thing was for this team. Get one more PA. Adam got a whiteboard because he wanted to do Get Out the Vote things on it. It's big, it's cool, you'll see it around eventually. That's all from my memory. There is more in my written report.
Thank you, President Larson. We'll go to Vice President Good for Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So Finance Committee had their last meeting last week, where we approved the budget, and you can see it in the order papers. Pretty exciting stuff. Also working on transition. The thing that we're giving over to next year's Finance Committee is tightening up the DFU bylaws. Exhilarating. But anyways, if you haven't taken a look at the budget so far, I highly recommend doing it just because there's a lot of numbers. The main thing is just to make sure that the budget reflects budget principles, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Professor Ripka. Next up, we have the nominating committee. Did the nominating committee elect a chair? Vice President Bandigar.
Nominating committee will elect a chair next Monday at 1 p.m. is when we're meeting, finally. For our last meeting of the year, we're going to be adjudicating senators and the 25 interim GMC student counselors that we approved last time. So if you know anyone that wants to apply for GMC, the applications are still open. Please send it over to your friends. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President Bandigar. Is there any member of policy committee that you can report on behalf of Councillor Raitz? Mr. President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is from Councillor Raitz. I'm sorry I was not able to stick around. I have class at 7 p.m., so thank you to Adam for reading this. Policy Committee held its last meeting on April 2nd, 2019. At that meeting, we passed the second reading of the EDI policy. We passed the second reading of the assessment and grading policy. We discussed the next steps of the Indigenous policy, formerly the Truth and Reconciliation policy. A full review of the Policy Committee's year can be found with the trimester report in the late editions. This committee worked on 14 policies in total, 10 that have been renewed, one new policy, and two that are reaching the end of their renewals processes, and one that will carry over into the next year. I cannot thank all the committee members we've had over the course of this year, and now for their diligent and thoughtful approach to the committee. It was a breeze to manage this committee because everybody was invested in being there and wanted to do good work. Hell yes. As highlighted earlier, the only policy that will not complete its renewal this year is the Indigenous policy. The approach we took is the best route forward since it allows for the necessary amount of engagement and contemplation to take place before bringing this forward. It has been awesome to share this work with ARC, and I look forward to seeing this occur in the future. A very big thank you to those who have been involved in the policy's renewal so far, especially Councillors Belcourt, Sunday, Connor, Bibi Bourgeois, and all the members of ARC and the policy committee who worked on this. Thanks for your time, and thanks for your council. Thanks for a great year, council. Bye! If you are interested in being on policy committee next year, please reach out to me and the committee members to learn more.
Thank you, Mr. President Brown. We'll go to Governor Flanagan for the Board of Governors.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we got an email today. The ministerial order came in, so it's now official starting May 1st. Congrats to Governor Lee for taking over for me. Meeting schedule, no more board meetings. Safety, health, and environment was canceled for this month. Reputation and public affairs may be canceled, we're not sure yet. And general faculty's council will be on April 29th, and then that will be pretty much it for me. So what's next? Retirement/birthday party with Councillor Bielak in May, potentially. And I've been here at the U of A since fall 2014, and I'm going to finish this term with only 63 credits, so 4 years and only halfway done. So looking forward to being just a student again over the last 4 years, but in particularly this year and this term. I've stretched myself up way too thin, and I've pushed academics put down the priority list. Too many F's and W's and not enough B's and C's. So I'm going to end off with a couple of do's and don'ts I've learned over the past 4 years here. Surround yourself with hardworking people. They'll push you harder to achieve more than you ever thought possible and anything you thought you could do by yourself. I've been serving on this body with Reed for 3 years and Nathan for 3.5, and I think both of them have made me a better person and a better representative because of it. But not so successful that you get discouraged and give up. It's hard when you're working in the shadow of some immensely successful people to just give up and call it quits. Ask for help when you need it. We can't do everything, nor should we, and we don't know everything as much as we like to think we do. There's going to be people that are willing to help out and that can provide perspectives that we don't necessarily carry ourselves. Don't take on more than you can handle. Be great at one or two things instead of mediocre at 5 or 6. I learned this especially this year. I don't think it's any secret that I've done a shit job, and for that I apologize. When you're taking on so many things, it leads to burnout. You can't pour from an empty cup. Take care of yourself first. And thank you for helping me out in this role. And for those that are continuing on, keep doing what you're doing. And for those who aren't, keep doing what you're doing anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your work, Dr. McClellan. Is there any other members of any boards or committees that wish to deliver a report?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This will likely be my last report for CGSR, FACRA, the first ever campus radio station, broadcasting live from the basement of the Students Union Building in room 009. We had our most recent board meeting last Thursday evening. No business, everything was going pretty much great. It was a post-plebiscite debrief. The station on volunteers are immensely grateful for continuing student support, and they're glad to have us behind them for the next few years. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Governor Clown. The other members of the committee that wish to deliver a report. All right, seeing none, we will conclude our reports there. It's 7:26 right now. We'll recess a little bit early, so we can do our open forum. There's no guests. We won't have an open forum. So there's a question period after our recess. And on that note, President Larson.
Oh, here.
If there's people who would like to put on the guest list for open forum, you can come see me at the recess.
Stop.
Vice President Battingar.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Present.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yep.
Governor Flamin.
Here.
Councilor Lynn.
Thank you.
Councilor Anderson is in the live stream. Councilor Rates, over here. Councilor Wale.
Here.
Councilor Hosseini. Councilor Bilak.
Here.
Councilor Cunnar.
Here.
Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Hussein.
Yes.
Councilor Staff.
Here.
Councilor C.
Here.
Councilor Ansari is in the live stream. Councilor Yap. Councilor Rosalind. Councilor Bose.
Here.
Councilor Adwan is in the live stream. Councilor Hennessick. Councilor Chung. Councilor Ahmad. Councilor Sunday. Councilor Sunday.
Oh, hi, sorry, here.
How was your
council award? Councilor
Deanne. You gotta give it back now.
Yeah.
Councilor Azuki is in the live stream. Councilor Hadouche.
Me.
Councilor Kim.
Here.
Councilor DePinto. Councilor Agarwal.
Hi.
Councilor Risby. Councilor Bruce. Councilor Belcourt.
Here.
And we'll recess for 15. And in this time, please, with a piece of paper, write your ballot for the Council Scholars nomination and come give it to me. I will count them if you'd like to now open the floor to our open forum. Go ahead, Mr. Lachance.
Thank you very much again for that. The first question is to Vice President Operations and Finance, just about some clarification as to what the Friends of the Horowitz Reserve are. It's a line in the budget.
Vice President Rupka.
Hello. Thank you for your question. The Friends of the Meyer Horowitz Theater is a charity that we started that is kind of an advisory group for projects related to the theater. So any funds that are in there are just used for potential projects that come out of that committee. But as there has been no progress with the Meyer Horowitz Theater yet, the money hasn't been touched. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Rupka. Mr. Lachance.
Yeah, so this question is for Vice President External. In your executive report, you said that your meeting with the federal minister went well and that you had a conversation with him. Just wondering if you could provide some more details about that encounter.
Vice President Brown.
Thanks very much for the question. It was a very quick interaction with the minister. He basically finished his speech. I walked up to him and he pulled away for about, I didn't even get a photo. He had to go to a media scrum. But I basically told him that, you know, who I was, what organizations I represent, that we were very appreciative of many of the measures that the federal government put into that budget, in particular around the six-month interest-free grace period and the lowering of interest rates on federal loans, probably the most substantial win in the federal budget for us this year. And then I asked him, during his presentation to the luncheon, he talked about how the investments that this budget made in the work degree learning opportunities would put us on track to achieve 100% work degree learning opportunities, which means every student would be able to participate in a co-op, internship, apprenticeship, whatever, by 2023. And so I asked him how he thought we would get there, and he basically said, well, we're already on our way. Basically just sort of we have to hold course. But there are tens of thousands of spaces being created. I do think that the government's estimates may be a little bit low on that number. I think that there's a little bit more to invest in by that time if they wanted to hit 100% by then. But that was pretty much all this interaction. Then it was taken away to a media scrum.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Schatz, your final question.
This is for Vice President Operations and Finance. Just taking a look at the capital reserve within the budget, it's been trending downwards the past 3 or 4 years. Just wondering if the SU is concerned about this or if it's just something that's temporary.
Vice President Ripka.
Thank you for the question. That reserve is very contingent on how the economy is doing because it is invested. And so over the past few years, we haven't seen great gains on it. I personally am not too concerned about it because I do think that the economy is seeing a little bit of a rebound, in which case we should see it also rebound. We do dip into it occasionally, but are cognizant of the withdrawals that we take. So.
Thank you, Mr. Ripka. Any further questions from our guests? All right, seeing none, we will conclude our open forum there. And that will bring us into question period, starting now. Yes? Is that a question?
Yeah, question.
Hit your button.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Vice President Bourgeois.
This is a question for the Chair of Audit Committee. I have been requesting the financial reports from the residents' associations for quite some time now. I'm wondering if you could give a report as to which residents' association.
0 opposed, 0 abstentions. Motion carries. All right. Move on to our final item under Board Committee Business. Councillor Sunday moves on the recommendation of Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee to accept the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee recommendations. Is there a second for this motion? Vice President Batnagar. Councillor Sunday, would you like to introduce the motion?
Yes, please.
You have the floor.
For over 2 years, the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee has worked tirelessly on the recommendations presented in today's order papers. Countless councillors, the Students' Union executives, the students at large, and student groups work together on this document. I would like to thank, on behalf of the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee, all the Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal students, faculty associations, and students who engaged with us and whose feedback profoundly shaped these recommendations. I would also like to quote page 4 of the recommendations, which is the message from the chair, and I quote, "These recommendations, which will last for years to come, represent the efforts of myself and many others to change the university and the Students' Union for the better. They are the hopes and dreams of all the people who have touched the recommendations, wishing for a better university. Even if the changes seem minimal, small drops of rain can make ripples across the water." As can be seen, the recommendations are divided into 4 categories: advocacy, education, operational, and students' council. Underpinning these recommendations are the committee's vision, our mission, vision, and values, which were created through a number of sessions facilitated by Vice President Bourgeois. These recommendations, their spirit and intent, will live on for years to come as the Students' Union works to achieve them. This document is not static. Rather, its purpose is to act as an evergreen document, changing as Aboriginal students face new circumstances and the recommendations are realized. Personally, I would like to thank members of the committee as well as students' councils, past and present, for giving me the opportunity to act as the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee Chair. I have gained invaluable experience throughout the process, and I cannot thank you all enough. In closing, I hope Students' Council sees fit to accept these recommendations, and if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask me during debate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. I will now open the floor to debate on this item. Vice President Ripka.
Hi. Yeah, I would like to speak in huge favor of this because I think it's incredible work that ARC has done. I don't know of any other students' union that has done such rigorous work on such an incredible document, and I think that the students' union, which kind of shapes and provides services to help future leaders, can take the knowledge that is enclosed in this document and the recommendations, when implemented, can also help further reconciliation on a broader scale too. So well done everyone involved, and I will definitely be voting in favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President Ripka. We'll go to Councillor Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm also 100% speaking in favor of this. It's been a long time coming. There's a lot of good work done, both in reviewing it months ago and in its early draft form, announcing it now finally done and looking really great, especially under the operational section. There's a lot of really good things, both long-term and short-term, that can make huge strides in reconciliation, and it's something I think is both very important and both something we should be leading in and not just following. So I hope everyone votes in favor of this tonight.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Councilor Belcourt.
I'm speaking in favor of this, obviously. Thanks. this is beginning. I was thinking about the first day I walked into the TRC or the ARC, ad hoc committee and stuff, and I had no idea what I was walking into. And just these last 2 years, everything that we've done and the hard work that's gone into this, and just the way that I've seen this committee just empower the people around me, and just what it's done for me, and it's brought me into advocacy and getting involved with Students' Council and stuff, and it's just so close to my heart, and I'm just so excited and so passionate about this, and everything that it's going to do for everyone across the campus. And specifically, I love this part when we're going through our missions, visions, and values and stuff, and the pillars. We cultivate relationships, we empower students to take action, we create space for discussion, understanding, and vulnerability, we actualize change, and we educate our community. And I strongly believe that those are for real, the pillars, you know? And it's just so, crap. Okay, anyway, I'm going in favor. Please vote in favor.
Thank you very much, Councillor Belcourt. In the interest of time, we only have 30 minutes left. If everyone here is, if you're just trying to say you support this, a whole bunch of things that have already been said, please just let us carry on. If you have concerns or questions spring up, we will continue with the debate. So in that case, President Larson.
I'm going to ignore that. And speak in favor of the document. I'm going to read one thing that I am particularly proud of is that we have a long ways to go. There is a lot of steps to get done, but I think for the first time we are working together to get there. I'm proud of the fact that I can hang out with Catherine and not want to drink heavily. and it seems like an odd thing to say, but that relationship is one of the things that's been incredibly important to me over the year, and I really want to thank Catherine, Nathan, and everybody else involved in this for being open to that and giving myself and others a chance to try and move forward on these files. Again, I am going to reiterate one other point, which is this is
a very remarkable effort. It will require investment, it will require work, and it will require council to hold itself accountable to this document for years to come. I want to congratulate everyone here in adopting the budget, which includes funds to hire, I cannot remember the name of the coordinating position, an FM&I initiative specialist to ensure that, that this document and Students Union activities start to reflect a commitment to reconciliation on campus, as well as the integration of so many other services, benefits, and otherwise. There are, as already mentioned, plenty of small things, but we have to do the big things as well. And finally, I will reiterate the points from VP Wicca. This is a very unique document in my mind. There are a lot of places that do initiatives that have good things, and we can learn from them. I think that one thing the Students Union Movement can learn from us is this heavy commitment to a strategic direction that is, as already mentioned by Councillor Sunday, ingrained instead of just out there. But thanks so much again. On behalf of the UASU and everybody here, thank you to everyone who put their time and effort into this. It was not always an easy journey, but we have kind of seen the light. So thanks folks. I will be voting in favor.
Thank you, President Larson. We'll go to who's sitting next to you there, Stan? Go ahead.
I just want to speak in favor of this as well, because I know there's the Aboriginal Teaching Education Program who I've talked to, and I think this would be really good to share with them and to show them that, like, that the Students' Union, like, the student governance is, like, they've actually made change in trying to work towards reconciliation. So I know the education faculty is trying to work towards it, and they have a lot of strong leaders there as well. And so this is so great that that we can tie in education and also with, like, how governance is also working towards the same path, so.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Vice President Batner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to speak in favor of this motion, because I think it's very important that we understand the gravity of what we're doing today. Every year we have people talking about how we can commit better to reconciliation, or talk about things like we need to research what students want, or consult students, Indigenous students specifically, and we're continuing to burden them year after year by just asking them what we want, and they've told us very clearly, and this document and this recommendation list is the first time that we're seeing this in writing, like, so powerful and so strong. And I have watched so many students over this past year exemplify the mission, vision, and values that we have outlined in ARC. It's funny that we took until after the recommendations were more or less completed to write out these mission, vision, values, because every single day, every single time we were at the committee, people were very vulnerable. People were so open to learning, to educating us, and to creating a space where we were not only able to learn so much about ourselves, learn so much about the process of indigenization on our campus, but also be able to be open with each other and better ourselves as people. And so today I'll be voting yes for this, because not only are we making a change for this year, but we're making changes for years and years to come. And as mentioned 100 times today, this document is going to make us leaders in reconciliation across Canada. I don't think any other institution has created a recommendations document as we have, and this is, again, a project that's been years in the making. So I think people are speaking in favor of it so much because it is so important, and I hope that you as counselors understand the gravity of the work that we've done today and take time to educate your incoming counselors on the power of this document and allow them to engage in it in a way that makes them feel very powerful and empowered, so that they can make sure that these changes are being actualized every single day through their actions and through the actions of Students Council next year.
Thank you, Vice President Bandegar. Vice President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm also very very pleased and proud to vote in favor of the adoption of these recommendations. I'm also personally very excited to begin sort of re-strategizing our advocacy in accordance with a lot of this. For example, that the Students' Union shall increase its advocacy towards the federal government on issue of Aboriginal post-secondary funding. We saw in the last federal government already they are starting to make investments in, or increase investments in the PSSSP, the post-secondary student support program, but they've also started to make investments in Indigenous and, or in, sorry, in Métis and Inuit post-secondary access. It's a starting step, it's a stepping stone, It's certainly the beginning, and I think that these sorts of documents that I can take with me to Ottawa or to the legislature, wherever I go to talk to these politicians, is going to make a difference. As well, in terms of how we engage as CASA or as CAUSE with Indigenous students on campus, CASA's new pilot program for bringing Indigenous students to CASA conferences to make sure that they aren't just hearing what's going on, but are speaking to what's going on and are helping to guide our conversation. I'm very excited to see how we can incorporate the themes of this, these recommendations, into that pilot program. I just asked VP Badnagar to send me a copy, the PDF of these recommendations, so I can send them off to our home office, because I think that CASA as an organization, I think CAUSE as an organization, and I think the National Student Movement are going to be very excited to hear about what we've done here today. So thank you very much to everyone who has worked so hard on this project.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. Vice President Bourgeois.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to very emphatically speak in favor of the ARC recommendations. I also just want to thank the members of ARC, specifically Nathan and Catherine, for how much work and they put into this and how much they challenged everyone on the committee and all of those around them to critically think about reconciliation. And like at the start of the year, the committee was not the way that the committee is now, and it feels like a family, and it feels like something that we were able to get so much good stuff done. I hate using the microphone, I just want to look at how it feels. But yeah, like, thank you for making this something that we can all look back on and be proud of.
Councilor Seed.
I had a question. So in the education section, it says the Students' Union shall encourage members of the exec to receive training on Aboriginal peoples of Canada, and as well as the complex relationship. So would that include the massive open online course, the Indigenous Canada one?
Thank you, Councillor C. We'll go to Councillor Sunday.
Thank you for your question, Councillor C. It does actually include the massive open online course that is offered by the Faculty of Native Studies. You can take it for credit or free. It's a little bit down in the description of it. It talks about how one option is the MOOC. There is also other options out there. There's a partnership between the School of Business and the Faculty of Native Studies on the Indigenous Partnership Development Program, as well as other kind of training opportunities external to the university. So. Yeah, thank you for your question.
Councillor Hiddush, you are next.
Call a question?
Call the question. There's actually no one speaking list again. So unless anyone else would like to speak, seeing none, voting is now open.
Oh, Mr. Speaker.
Just saying.
Can I call for division?
Call for division. Voting on item 7D. President Larson. Vice President Badnagar.
In favor.
Vice President Brown.
Strongly in favor.
Vice President Lipka.
In favor.
Vice President Bourgeois.
In favor.
Governor Flannan.
In favor.
Councillor Lynn is not here. Councillor Anderson is in favor. Councillor Riggs is not here. Councillor Mwale.
In favor.
Councillor Hosseini is not here. Councillor Bila.
Yes.
Councillor Kadar.
In favor.
Councillor Lee.
In favor.
Councillor Hussein.
Yes.
Councillor Stapp.
In favor.
Councillor C.
Sure thing.
Councillor Ansari is no longer here. Councillor Yao is not here. Councillor Rosler is not here. Councillor Bose.
In favor.
Councillor Adwan is no longer here. Councillor Hennessy and Councillor Chung are not here. Councillor Ahmad is not here.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
Although we are currently voting, can I make an amendment? I know it's a little late, but I deserve
What is your amendment?
So to the current membership, I would like to add Cheryl Makokas on page 2.
Okay. I mean, he's a mover, so that table is friendly. Is there anyone who would like to change their vote in light of the amendment?
Wait, I have another one. I'm sorry.
Yes. Council Sunday, go ahead.
Oh, never mind, it's just editorial, so apparently that's not a thing.
Yeah, if it doesn't actually change the scope of what's being said, don't really need an amendment for it. Okay, in that case, Council Sunday, how do you vote?
In favor.
Because Nia is not here. Councilor Izuki, you're in the live stream. How do you vote? Councilor Izuki? I'll let you, I'll give you until the end of this to vote. Councilor Hadouf? Councilor Kemp?
In favor.
Councilor Dependo is not here. Councilor Agarwal?
In favor.
Councilor Brisby is not here. Councilor Bruce is not here. Councilor Belcourt? Councilor Izuki does not appear to be actually here. So in that case, motion passes unanimously. And I believe that will conclude board and committee business. We'll move to general orders, beginning with our one item from the late editions. Clement moves to ratify the appointment of James Thibodeau to the position of Chief Returning Officer for the 2019-2020 academic year. Is there a second for this motion? Vice President Bourgeois, thank you very much. Governor Clement, would you like to introduce the motion?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For anybody familiar, Councillor Jimmy Tibbs was a councillor for the past couple of years. He was a exec candidate a couple of years in a row. He managed a campaign last year. The CRO selection committee picked him. He sent the nomination to us. I trust their judgment, and I hope everybody does too. I'm pretty confident with their selection.
Yes, Councillor Sennett.
I'd like to motion to go in camera.
I'll roll that in order. Is there a second for that? Councillor Bielak, thank you very much. All in favor of going in camera? Any opposed? Any opposed? That carries. Guests, please leave the room. There's one more item after this.
Oh, there is?
Yes. However, we can't really postpone items because there's no more meetings.
Wait, what is the next item?
The next item on the agenda is the standing orders, which is important. So, when it gets 9 o'clock, we'll see where we're at. We'll continue. Councilor Senator, do you have another motion to make?
Yes, I actually point to parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
A vote by secret ballot, is that just how we normally do it, or is there another process for that?
Vote by secret ballot, what we normally do. We don't see what other people's votes are.
All right, thank you.
That's our default. You can choose to move for other voting, such as roll call. There's roll call, there's division of the question, there's division of the question doesn't really apply in this case. So in this case, it's pretty much just secret and roll call.
Right.
We could do real division and everyone stands up and moves to the sides of the room, but I don't think we can do that. All right. We will continue with Councillor Bose.
Yeah, so this is just a recommendation. Like, could we appoint the next CRO the same way we appoint the speaker so that we could have more transparency? And the reason I'm saying this because since the elections office didn't do a good job, I don't think they will be able to pick up a good CRO. So
we'll go to Councilor Hadouf.
I would just like to, again, say that I would love to see this go back to the decision committee and then come back. back to us with either the same candidate or a different candidate. But it seems like we're pretty, it just seems like it would be better.
Thank you, Councilor Douche. Vice President Bourgeois.
Oh, sorry, I defer to President Larson.
Can't really defer, he's on the speaking list, so he gets to wait his turn. Councilor Sunday.
Thank you. I would just like to respond to Councillor Bowes' recommendation. Just for myself, having served on council for a while, I would say that changing the process of the CRO for it to be how we do for the speaker or council votes, I don't think it's the best necessarily in terms of either transparency or what's the word here? Anyway, so whatever. I was going to say, I don't think it's the best because, say, if someone knows that they are running, if a councillor knows that they are going to be running for an executive position, then they could try and lobby for their friend to be the CRO without council knowing, and then council votes them in, and they run for executive and receive preferential treatment. So, which is why I think the independence of the appointing committee is essential to the Students' Union, similar to how the Diet Board appointments are done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. President Larson.
Councillor Sunday said exactly what I was about to say. Yes, it is incredibly important that the CRO's office is a third-party office and has no formal connection to Students' Council aside from the recommendation given to us from the hiring committee.
Thank you, President Larson. Councillor Hussain.
I think from a personal observation, this is just a panel, a personal opinion. A lot of your judgment calls are based on personal relationship with the person, less of the character, whether the person is qualified to do actually the job. So I think take yourself out of the shoe that I have related and look at the character though. Can he do the job? Is he qualified to do the job? Less of your feelings. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hussain.
I would like to call for the quorum.
What do you mean by call for the quorum?
I don't know. Isn't that where we all have to be real formal about everything?
That's, call for the quorum is like if you think people are being rowdy and you think that I'm not doing my job right by corralling people in. Being more formal is just, people can speak whenever they choose. There's no rules about how you can speak. Or
I'm not saying nobody's being formal, but it's just a motion I haven't made.
Councillor Sunday wants us to be here till 10. That's okay. And with that, is there any further debate on this motion? Going once. Going twice. Voting is now open. Commander, if you'd like to abstain, you gotta hit the 0 button. Otherwise, it's a non-vote.
Can I have my abstention noted, though?
No, at the end.
Okay.
And the computer's broken. All right, voting will close in 3, 2, 1. Stand by. All right, this is actually completely cluttered. One second, folks. Let me try and rejoin somewhere else. All right, I'm going to restart this computer because it's completely frozen on me. Like, can't even control-alt-delete.
So what are we doing?
My computer's frozen, so I can't tally the votes in the live stream.
Oh.
So I'm going to log in the live stream on my computer to try and get them to send it to me, and I'm going to restart this computer while I'm doing it.
While that's happening, can I make a motion?
what kind of motion are you trying to make?
So it's preemptive for the debate that we are having. Yeah. I would like to motion to limit debate to 20 minutes. Either we could just wait here for 3 minutes while that works, or we could just motion.
I have a question. Does anyone know what insult Zotero to Word
does? What?
Word
does?
Microsoft Word to Zotero.
With 9 votes in favor,
8 opposed, and 2 abstentions. The motion carries.
It only requires a simple majority vote.
Simple majority vote. I will double check that. Did you guys check that?
No, it just doesn't specify.
It doesn't specify, so we'll assume simple majority. Is there any abstentions wishing to be noted? Vice President Brown. All right, now we'll bring us to our final, item for this evening, which is Flamin moves. I can move. I don't have my quarter papers up here. Flamin moves to
amend council
to make council standing orders as attached to the agenda. Is there a second for that motion? Councillor Lee. I will clear the vote. And we will now go into debate on the motion to amend council standing orders.
Do I get to introduce?
Oh, yes, my apologies. Governor Flanagan, introduce the motion.
These are the standing orders. We've been talking about them since November. CAC kind of went through a bunch of times, and we all think look good. Do you have any questions on them?
Begin with President Larson.
Yes, I've worked on a few of these with Council Kleinman and the committee. Probably the biggest change is a change to the nomination system for students' union committees, which is now going to be geared towards not having nominations from the floor, but geared towards having nominations put their nominations in for the order papers or for the late editions. So that way we expedite a bit of time there. Please do take a look over the system. There is also a change to add a closed session of council if council members decide to add things to the closed session. They can only be information items or items for discussion. They can't be motions, so we can't, as we do now, cannot be making motions in closed. There is a update to limiting time to presentations from 30 minutes to 15 minutes. We usually spend up to an hour on presentations, and sometimes the content is not necessarily useful. The other change that I am forgetting, a fairly large change I almost forgot. Open forum has a change which would allow for not only questions, but for commentary. So basically we would allow for members of the community during open forum a lot of time to come in and say about anything on the agenda. This is kind of similar to how it's, there are places that do it similarly. I think it's a great opportunity to use it as a way to bring in like external expertise on a random thing on council's agenda who might not be able to talk during the actual time, but could talk during open forum and then give a perspective, which is cool because that's kind of what they do at like City Hall or at smaller towns, which I think is awesome. Besides that, I will be voting in favor. I want to thank everybody for putting all the work in, particular Governor Flanagan, for keeping track of the doc for like the last 3 months or so. There were so many suggestions. It was wild. Besides that, thank you, folks.
What's
the
scholarship
increase?
Yes. When are we going to vote on the council scholarships?
The votes are supposed to take in the recess.
Yeah.
If you didn't do it, I will still accept them at the end. But you have to write me right at the end, because I'm going to count them tonight. All right. We will. Is there any further debate on this item?
Oh, I have one.
Councillor Sunday.
I just want to say I will speak in favor. I would like to thank Councillor Flam for taking my suggestions. As well, I would like to just reiterate to everyone to look at the oath of office. There was a slight addition of one sentence that was added, and there has not been a change to the oath of office, to my knowledge, in quite some time. So that is relatively new, and I'll be voting in favor.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. Any further debate on this item? Going once. Vice President Banagher.
Mr. Speaker, I will also be voting in favor of this motion simply because we've been talking about this for a very long time, but the point I want to make is that we have committed this year, we talked about this probably for many, many, many meetings, that you all feel like you were not transitioned well into your positions as student counselors. We heard you very loud and clear, but the problem is the incoming counselors are going to have the same complaints unless you guys break the cycle. So please fill out the transition document or the transition survey that was sent to you by Discover Governance, and please meet with your incoming counselors if you have the capacity to, and educate them on these changes. There's a lot that we can do, but at the end of the day, council sets the tone for council. It's not like one way or the other, and I think it's really important that you as councillors are setting the tone for your incoming team, and I know a lot of them already have a lot of questions. The first meeting is April 23rd, so please reach out to your incoming councillors and talk to them about the changes or any comments or questions or transition any knowledge that you have for them, because this year we heard you very loud and clear when you said that you did not feel like you were supported, and I really don't want to hear that from next year's council, especially knowing that you folks have made such a strong statement about it this year. So please reach out to your incoming councillors and transition them on these items. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further debate on this item? Going once. Going twice. Voting is now open.
During my massive overhaul of standing orders, but I want to strike, I move to strike section 24.8 from Students' Council standing orders because it's a line that is antiquated, it sat there for years, very few people actually take advantage of it, so I think we should just scrap it. Could you read out the line?
I sure can. That line reads 24.8, in ultimate irony, read, the last meeting of the year, the mover of the motion or the speaker may declare any motion to be a joke motion, such motion having no effective carry. Member Flamin, do you declare this a joke motion?
I do.
He declares it a joke motion, meaning that if it passes, nothing happens.
Wow.
We have a call to question. All in favor? Let's see placards.
Wait, what?
We're voting to strike 24-8 joke motion.
Oh, can I make a motion on top of that?
What's your motion on top of that?
I'd like to motion to rescind the item from the agenda.
That's accepted. All right, let's get out of here. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Bettinger.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois. What? Governor Flanagan.
Yes. No, abstain.
Like that.
Council Lynn. Not yet. Councilor Emerson. Is still here. Council Rates is not here. Council Molly.
Here. Take your placards.
Council Hussein is not here. Council Bilak.
Here.
Council Cunard.
Here.
Council Lee.
Here.
Council Hussein left. Councilor Stapp.
Here.
Councillor C.
Here.
Councillor Ansari. Councillor Gallagher is not here.
Unfortunately.
Councillor Bose.
Here.
Councillor Adlan is not here. Councillor Hennessy and Chung and the Potter are not here. Councillor Sunday.
Here.
Councillor Nien. Not here. Councillor Azuki is not here. Councillor Hadouche.
Yeah.
Councillor Kim.
Here.
Councillor Pinto is not here. Councillor Agarwal.
Here.
Councilor Risby and Bruce are not here, and Councilor Belcourt.
Here.
And with that, Students Council 2018-2019 is adjourned.